Culturally, our parents, people older than us, have told us, enjoy your 20s. They're going to be the best years of your life. And I think it's a general consensus from my peers, talking to my friends, memes on the internet, that is not really the case. And it feels like we were either falsely advertised, duped, or just plain lied to about this period of our lives, because in reality, it doesn't feel like the best time of our lives. And I know that I'm probably speaking for a lot of people here when I say that it does not feel like that, for the most part. At all. And it really just kind of boils down to this. You're told that it's supposed to be the best years of your life. But what about it is exactly the best years of our lives? Because I don't see it. We don't really have a solid job. You get out of college, you think that you're going to get a job. Well, the job market is awful in all fields. It's really hard to find a job. On top of that, most of us usually have to move back home because we can't afford to move out and live on our own. And because of that, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I wasn't, no one I knew went to my college. So all the friends that I made, they're not coming back with me here, back home. They're all going back to their own homes from where they were in college. So even though you did make friends in college, which is great, it's not like you're going to end up living with them again or see them every day. It's kind of the reverse effect of what you experienced when you left high school. You met all of your friends in high school, and then you have to leave them. And it's the same thing, except for just with people you met in college. And so you're kind of back to square one socially. And you have little to no friends because you either grew apart from your high school friends or everyone else moved away. And then you're just kind of stuck in your hometown, wherever that may be. And you're struggling to find a job. You don't feel great about the fact you don't have a job. You also don't feel that great that you have to live back at home, even though you know it's the best thing for you. You're struggling to gain that independence because you really have none. Because you're living back at home. And I don't know about you guys, but some parts of the rules of your household, as much as you know you are an adult, you know you can drink and vote and get tattoos and all this other crap, but you still, in some aspects, your dynamics with your parents are kind of back to the way it was when you were in high school. And you start to realize, so what about this part of my life is supposed to be fun? Because the 20s are not necessarily fun instability, because there really is no stability. You're still trying to figure out your life. The pieces haven't fell into place yet. You don't have a solid career. You don't have your own job that can pay for the lifestyle that you're wanting. You're in a limbo, for lack of better words. And this limbo is kind of freaking you out a little bit. Depending on if you like to have a plan or not, it's frustrating. Because I think all of us want to know what our purpose or want to know what type of direction we're going into. I don't think everyone needs to say they know exactly what they're doing at the exact same time, but I would also like to believe that for the majority of people, you want to know kind of or have an idea. A direction is gives you comfort, tells you, okay, I have a plan. I'm not completely lost. I did get a degree for something. I am going to be able to get a job in the degree that I got, that I spent 4 years getting, that I spent tens of thousands of dollars on. And the more you look at jobs, you just start to freak out and realize the commitment that they're asking, that jobs are asking you for, is saying, oh, you need to have job experience. When if you're like me, who never held a job during college, you were a full-time student, you're over here saying, hello, I'm getting a job for the first time. How am I supposed to get an entry-level job when you're telling me that the entry-level job needs a minimum experience when I don't have experience? So you're just in this catch-22 situation. You're looking for a job, but the employers are saying, oh, you have to have experience to get this job. Well, hey, buddy, someone's going to have to give me a chance over here, give me a break in order for me to start in this industry at all. Otherwise, I'm screwed. And I know that is the wall that all of my friends, everyone I've known, has bumped up into. And I graduated a year later, because I was finishing up my second degree. So everyone that was my age graduated, and then I got to watch what their lives were like post-grad for 1 year while I was still in school. And from what I've realized is every single person that I know that got, you know, science degrees, who are wanting to go pre-med but are either getting a gap year or just trying to get money, etc., it doesn't really matter. Whole point is that they were not even able to get a job in their field because of how volatile this job market is. I mean, it's basically what it was back in 2008 when my older sister got out of college. And on top of that, you have the economy making expenses of living skyrocket even higher. Because I remember I read this article that said in the 50s, since then, the wages have only gone up about 50 to 70%. But the expenses have gone up 200%. Okay? There's no wonder why the basic things that we used to do to pull pranks have become very expensive commodities today that you wouldn't even think about throwing at houses anymore. Because of how much money it costs to spend on these things that we need. But yeah, 20s are not meant to be stable. And if you're anyone like me who feels comfort and happiness knowing where you're going in life, it's not the most peachy keen feeling, is it? To know that you're going through life and still figuring out where you're going. When you thought, for the most part, that uncertainty was over. Well, then you're snapped with the truth of that. Oh, yeah, so this won't be the only time that I'll feel lost. This is not the last time that I will feel directionless and no idea what you're doing. And it feels like the only thing you have to do is pray or just get through your day, do whatever is required of you in order to feel enough and to keep yourself grounded, to keep yourself from floating away or freaking out or doing anything that is unproductive, to wallow or to overthink or to just plain think terribly of yourself because you have nothing in your life together. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world. And throughout our entire lives, we were told, oh, you know, when you become a grown up, you're going to be, you know, doing everything that you want in life, you're going to be making money, and then you're going to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and you're going to, you know, just all the fantastical things that we've been told growing up. Just like how High School Musical and all the Disney Channel movies about love pretty much gave us an unrealistic expectation as to what high school would be and what falling in love and relationships would look like. Because they very much are very far from the truth. As much as we would probably love that to be the reality, it's not. That's kind of what it felt like whenever adults would tell us, oh, just wait till you get into your 20s, or, you know, everyone's pushing to grow up because, you know, they have this just this dream, this fantasy idea of what it's like to be an adult. When in reality, being an adult is not that great. I mean, yes, there are its perks, but, I mean, I, for one, did not want to grow up. My entire childhood, my mother would always tell me, don't try to grow up, okay? Be a child as long as you can. And I'm happy to say that I did. I took that advice and I stayed a child as long as I could. I mean, honestly, even up until the summer I left for college, I remember I mourned my child. I literally cried because I realized, wow, I'm going off to college. My childhood is over. I mean, I basically was a child, but appreciated being young and being a child up until I was 18, because I knew that if you think about it, your childhood is a fraction of your life. And if you've been hurrying up to grow up since you were in middle school, you just cut that by a lot. And it's already a small portion of your life. I mean, I remember in middle school, you know, when you're trying to grow up and you're starting to want to wear makeup and then you want to wear heels and you want to, you know, wear all the clothes that make you look older and stuff. And I remember thinking, you have all your life to do this. And for the most part, you mostly will have no choice but to put makeup on when you go to work and all this stuff. And I knew, hey, when you're an adult, nothing's free like you are when you're a kid. Everything is paid. You don't have to pay bills. You don't have to do taxes. You don't have to have a job. Okay? Because I don't know about you. As much as working and stuff should give you purpose and stuff, I feel like at the same time, we're all kind of like, wouldn't it just be nice if none of us had to work to make a living? Does that make sense? Like, we could just do whatever we wanted. You don't get to do that as an adult. Okay? Like, as an adult, you are in the workforce. You're making a living. Most of your time in your day is spent to afford your life. And at the same time, you start to realize, what life? Because you have no friends. You're starting from square one. As much as this is your hometown, you feel like you're brand new in some ways. And it's just really frustrating. Because again, like I said, you were being given this false pretense of what it was going to be an adult. You were told all these fancy, fantastical things. And maybe for some people that came true. And for that, I applaud those people. Slightly jealous, but I'm glad that at least somebody is experiencing what we all thought we were going to have. But yeah, it's just frustrating because you see us going up through life and we're told all these things. When in reality, I'm thinking, why don't you just tell us the truth? Like, my parents told me the truth, but why wasn't that the general, you know, status quo? Because now we're all just let down. And I think as much as we want to have stability, it's up to us to find it. It's up to us in our own life to take charge, to find what we want in life. And we don't have to do it alone. We can talk to friends, stay in touch with the people from college, ask for help from family members if you have that. Because as much as we feel alone, we don't have to act as if we are. Because we should be using every single person in our lives, because most of the time they want to help us, right? And I'm thinking, it can't be that bad. Growing up, being in your 20s is really just a part two of your childhood. Because your childhood is a time for growth, it's a time for exploration, it's a time for figuring who you are, finding yourself and knowing what's important to you. And the 20s, it just feels like a round two, except for this time you're older, slightly wiser than you were at 18. And you just have another opportunity to say, hey, let's figure out what we're going to do next. And the reframing is just so important. Because, yeah, you could look at it as, I am a loser. I am single. I have no job. I live at home. And I don't know what I'm doing. When in reality, you could take it a different way. Reframing it, saying, okay, I live at home. I am single. I don't have a job. But what can I do about that? Or just make steps to figure out, okay, do I want to go to more school? What type of jobs are available with the degree that I have? Who can I reconnect with? How can I make new friends? It's that problem-solving mindset, that helmet that we need to put on in order to not feel bad about ourselves. So if we do feel bad about ourselves, we don't want to sit in it. As much as sitting in it might feel good and might validate where we are, which is totally valid, feeling sucky. But it's also important to try to do more than where we are. Even when we feel stuck, even when we feel hopeless, even when we feel like our hands are tied and that we've done all we can. Maybe, just maybe, there actually is more that we could do. But we have to try to find that rather than sit and just kind of be defeated in where we are. And that kind of reminds me of what happened just a few months ago. I was playing with my little niece and we were playing with the Jenga blocks. And, you know, she is a baby, so we're not actually using these blocks for Jenga. We're just building stuff. So meanwhile, I'm building this little house, right? And my niece comes and she walks over. She knocks it down. And she laughs every time. It's actually kind of funny. But no matter what, I continued to try to rebuild this little structure, this little house that I'm trying to build. And every time, my niece will come back, waddle back to me, and knock it down all over again. And I'll have to continue to do it. And then this went on for about 5 minutes. But in that 5 minutes, it felt a lot longer. And it clicked to me that what was happening with this blocks with my niece, it's a lot like life. You're trying to build something. It's going great. You're feeling like you're making progress. You feel like you're finding who you are. Or you're making that money. Or, you know, you're doing great in your job. Or wherever you're at in life, things are going good. You're building. And then something in life comes in and knocks it down. And you're kind of left either at square one or lower than you were before that happened, right? And I realized in that moment that that is just what life is. You're building your little block tower. You're trying to get as high to the sky as you can. But then life happens. And that little niece will come down and knock your tower. And it's not about if it'll happen. It's about when. Everyone's tower is going to be knocked down eventually. And I guarantee that it won't be the last time either that it happens. The first time is always the hardest, though, because you have no previous history to look upon to keep yourself from freaking out, right? If you have no history of that happening before and you moving past it, it's hard for you to understand how the storm works and that you're going to get out of it, right? So that's why the first knocked down tower event is the hardest, because A, you're not used to being knocked down that significantly. And B, like I said, you don't have anything to look on in your life where it's happened before to say, okay, I'm going to get through this. It's just a phase of my life. It's just a season. That's why teenagers, that's why we were so dramatic, because we thought whenever something happened, like a breakup or something bad, we're like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. We said that because we've never had struggles like this before. Or like when you get to college and you get your first below A, at least that's how it was for me when I was a pre-med, and I remember just being totally humbled by my class and feeling like my life is freaking over. It's because people around me also who were gotten A's their entire life up until college have never experienced anything below a B or even a C or even a D. We're over here thinking, oh my God, our lives are awful. We're so stupid. But until you've experienced it one time, you won't understand that is just life. You're building your tower. The little niece is going to waddle and knock it down eventually. And it'll happen over and over again. It may not be in a pattern. It may not be like clockwork. Sometimes I would get my tower pretty tall. I mean, I remember I got it about like a foot tall before she came down and knocked it down. And then it was like 2 feet, and then she saw it and was like, and then, you know, came and knocked it down maybe like 2 seconds later. But the definition between someone who does something good and does something great is what we decide to do when that tower gets knocked down. How do we face that challenge, and how do we react to what just happened? Do we get frustrated? Do we get lost? And do we stay that way? emotions like that are completely valid. When your life it comes crashing down, of course, your natural reaction is probably not to be like, oh, great, that just happened. That's amazing. Wow, this is just a new learning experience for me. Golly, I'm excited to learn more things. No, most people would be like, hey, I built this beautiful tower, and now I have to rebuild it. This is really frustrating. I don't want to have to do this. My life was pretty great before. This is not what I wanted. And that's completely fine. I think that's a very normal reaction. But if you decide to just keep whining about it or to make a fuss over it, that is where the problem is. But if you don't get back up and restart and just say, okay, it happened, you know, this was frustrating, but let's just start over, we got this. Those are two different attitudes, right? One of them is just sticking with what the situation is versus the other one is seeing the situation, acknowledging your feelings healthfully, but then saying, okay, let's get back to work. We got more to do. We're good. And that's just what separates the wheat and the chaff. Because everyone experiences failure. Every single person experiences failure. And I think if you remind yourself of that, I don't know about you, but when I remind myself of that, I feel a lot better. Because I know, hey, I'm just a regular human. I'm just like everyone else, finding their way, doing what they can in this life. Whatever that may be, whatever that is, wherever that may take me, to glorify God. That's how it is for me, at least. But even if you're not religious, you're just trying to make it through life and do the best you can. And that still applies. It's a natural human experience to fail. And I think that should not make you feel alone. It should make you feel a little comforted knowing that you are not alone in any struggles that you have faced. It should make you feel better that I am guessing, since there have been so many people that have lived before us, that even our failures, we're not the first to fail at whatever we think we failed at. And that should make us feel better, knowing that as perfect as we like to think our lives are, or as great as a person we may think we are as well, that does not mean that we are immune to falling, to having our tower knocked down. That it is a normal, completely fine thing to experience. And even so, it might just be a perfect opportunity because maybe you were getting a little too confident in that tower that you had, in yourself, in your life, your capabilities. It's a good dosage of humble that you needed in your life. But the human experience of life, that is probably one of the few things that I could say that each person in this life can relate to, is failure. And if you fear failure, you're never gonna get anywhere. It's just gonna paralyze you. Because fear, that's what it does. It doesn't want you to try. It doesn't want you to move from where you are because it wants you to say, I can't do better than where I am, so I'm just going to stay put. Therefore, if I stay put, I can never fail. That's kind of what you say. But in my mindset, staying still is kind of worse than trying again and failing again. Because failing again, at least you hopefully have learned from your first failure. Learning, as long as you learn from these failures, you try to figure out where your failures are for and why. Sometimes they don't even have a why. Sometimes you just fail because the niece comes and knocks over your tower and you did nothing wrong. Those are the failures where you did nothing wrong, but you just have to have that grit, that attitude, and continue to go on, to continue to go forward. But then there are times when the niece comes and knocks down your tower when there was a reason for it. And those are the reasons I mean when you say you have to learn. Or maybe you didn't see it coming, but there is still something you can pull from that experience that can allow you to move forward better, so you can maybe build a stronger tower, a different tower, maybe that it is more, can withstand a better knockdown, maybe it doesn't get pushed down as easily. There's always something you can learn from whatever failure that you've had. And I think that as long as you learn something from it, then you're doing okay. I'm not saying you have to do a better tower than before. I mean, that's kind of the purpose of growing, is to, you know, is to make a better tower than the one you made before. But even if you don't, as long as you learn from it, that's all I feel like I could ask of anybody. Even what I ask of myself. I try to learn from the people that have wronged me. I have tried to learn from the people that have given up on me. I try to learn from the times that I've failed. So that if I fail again, when I fail again, it won't be because I didn't learn from the first time. And I will admit, that doesn't happen naturally sometimes. There are areas of my life that this is a very hard concept for me to learn for myself. Yes, I may have it academically, but in my personal life, hey, that's up to debate. And I know I'm not alone in that either. That sometimes it may take us a little longer to learn what we need to. And we could feel bad about that. Like, why did I not learn it the first time? And look back at our past and just be kind of mad at our past selves. And think, oh my gosh, if I had just learned this earlier. Or why did I do this? And to that I say, why are we ridiculing our past selves? Why are you doing that? Because all of those failures, all of those mistakes, they have made you into who you are today. And who you are today, no matter where you are in life, you're still enough. You've always been enough. You've always been exactly where you need to be at that moment in your life. You are perfectly made and wonderful. And you've never needed to be more than where you were at that moment. So why are you criticizing your past self? Because doing that doesn't change anything. It's not like you saying that somehow changes the past, therefore affecting your present and your future. You know, it doesn't do that. That's not how it works. All you're doing is bashing on yourself for whatever reason that makes you feel good. And I've been there. I've done it myself. And even now I think back to it and say, it wasn't exactly the most kind thing I could have done to me. Because I bet back then, you were doing the best you can back then. And you're doing the exact same thing now. You're trying to do the best you can. And that's pretty much all you can ask of yourself, is to do the best you can. As long as you put in the effort that you can for that day, at that moment, then you're doing okay. Now, doing your best doesn't need to mean you're doing 100% every single day. And I'm pretty sure everyone can agree when I say that you don't even have 100% every single day. No one does. It's impossible. We're not robots. We're not that. We can't perform above and beyond every single day. That's just not possible. But as long as you're putting in the energy that you have for that day and doing the most you can with what you have, that's okay. Even if you don't make the quota for the energy that you have and maybe be a little blobbish, that's how I call it, and want to rest and do nothing, even that nothing shouldn't feel unproductive. It is productive. It's a reason why that happened. Don't let it feel like it's nothing. I don't know about you, but I had parents growing up that, to them, if you're doing nothing, if you're just sitting in bed and watching TV, to them that looked like you're doing nothing. And that it was unproductive. You were being unproductive. And then they would try to get you to do something, either by getting you out of bed to go work, go outside, work at the house. It doesn't matter. their generation, anything that was aside from working and making money, it was hard, and it still is, for them to comprehend what it means to do nothing. And they try to make you feel bad for it, too. But I am here to say that even if you're trying, even if you are doing nothing one day or a few days, it doesn't equate to failure. It doesn't equate to unproductivity. And it also does not mean that you are a failure. Because all you can just do is do the best you can and just hope and pray and have faith and have discipline to know that things will continue to get better. Your tower will rise. As long as you remember that that tower will fall and you're going to have to rebuild. And the exciting part is, you know that by each tower that falls, you learn from why and how it happened. And you just keep going, and each tower does get better, gets stronger. You become more wiser. You become more patient. You don't get as frantic when the tower falls down. Why is that? Because you have built up a history of it happening before. And you know this is just a season of your life where you're not supposed to be at your highest. This is a valley. Back in church, we had a little devotional during our summer camp. And the theme for the camp itself was mountains and valleys. And that is what life is mountains and valleys. You got your highs and your lows. In each one of them, you stay humble and you stay focused and you keep your eyes on God and you just go with what you have and try not to look back and you try not to look too far forward, but to just stay in the present and do what you can. And I think that's all we can ask of anyone, and that's all I ask of myself. And with that, that's the end of the episode. I hope you learned something today, and I'll see you guys next time.